Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians 1:7. Ephesians 1:7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now, our subject tonight is the riches of his grace. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us tonight as we study the word. Give me preaching grace and help the people to hear, and may we understand, apply the great truths to our hearts and be blessed and honor thee in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I once read about a man that was struggling against the appetite for strong drink. He tried to throw off this sinful habit, but over and over again it seemed to bring him down. And one day a temperance worker came to him and put a pledge card in his hand and said, "Sign this pledge card that you won't drink anymore, and not only sign it, but keep it." And the poor, helpless fellow looked at the worker and said to him, "It isn't something I need to keep. I need something to keep me." Now, when you begin to contrast law and grace, law offers people something to be kept, but grace offers to keep them. Law is an expression of the righteousness of God, but grace is the expression of divine love. Law comes with the sternness of divine justice written on the face, but the grace of God comes with a kindly smile of divine love. That's the difference. Law says, give a man what he deserves. But grace says, have mercy on the man. Law says, the wages of sin is death. But grace says, the gift of God is eternal life. Law leads to despair. When people seek to keep law, they are led to despair. But grace leads people to hope. Law reveals man's condemnation, but the grace of God reveals redemption. Law shows men their sins, but grace shows the remedy. The law points people back to Mount Sinai, a place where there was lightnings and thunder, but grace points people to Calvary and the atoning Christ that died there. Grace is contrasted with works in the Bible. And when Paul speaks of salvation by grace, he said, not of works, lest any man should boast. By works, man seeks to merit favor with God. But the grace of God bestows unmerited favor upon unworthy people. See, that's the difference. Works for salvation leads to pride. Grace leads to humility. Works for salvation creates a great chasm that separates a holy God and sinful man. But the grace of God bridges that chasm. and brings sinful man and a holy God together. What is grace? Well, let me answer by saying the supreme manifestation of the grace of God is the gift of His Son. God so loved the world that He gave His Son. And the Son so loved the world that He gave His life. So we have to say that grace is the love of God going out to a sinning and needy world through the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace not only brought Christ into the world, it took Him to Calvary. We read in Romans 5:8, God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich. So the cross of Calvary stands as the very heart of divine grace. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. But the love of Christ was greater. For He not only died for His friends, He died for His enemies. He died for Judas, who betrayed Him with a kiss. He died for the people who mocked Him, for those who crucified Him, for those who spat in His face and insulted Him. The message tonight has to do with the riches of God's grace, the exceeding riches of His grace. Ephesians 1:7 and Ephesians 2:7, I want to put them together. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. And then Ephesians 2:7, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul has been called the Apostle of Grace, and I think rightly so. The word grace is found so often in the letters of Paul. There's another word that's also found. Riches. Paul, for instance, he speaks of the riches of the goodness of God. He speaks of the richness of the glory of God. He speaks of the richness of the wisdom of God. He speaks of the richness of the glory of God and the inheritance of the saints. And then in the letter to the Ephesians, he puts these two words together, riches and grace. He talks about the riches of the grace of God. He talks about the exceeding riches of His grace. The exceeding riches of His grace. Now, riches can consists of quantity or quality or both. For instance, material riches we usually think of as an abundance of material things. And to use a native Arkansan, it would be Sam Walton, who's a billionaire plus. So he has an abundance of material things as to quantity. Now, we may use an expression like this. The milk is rich. Now, that's quality. Rich milk. But the grace of God takes into consideration not only quantity, but also quality. There is an abundance of the grace of God. And there's nothing like it in all the world. It's the greatest thing in the world is the grace of God. Let's notice some of the things about the grace of God. First of all, it's the source of our salvation. And you know, when I said that to myself this afternoon, I just felt good. I'm glad it's that way. I'd feel helpless if it were any other way. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Now that means that there's grace sufficient for all men. The riches of His grace, the supply is never exhausted. All the Christian people of the past have come to the great storehouse of God's grace. And yet, this great supply of God's grace has never been diminished. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. So long as time may last, the grace of God will be enough for all people. I'm glad we have a God that is an enough God. That's kind of it. He has enough. He has enough grace to go around. In Isaiah 45:22, it says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there's none else." This call to all the world would just be hollow mockery if there was any shortage of the grace of God. The call goes out to the whole world. And God Himself knows better than anyone else that there is a riches of grace. I think of Mark 16:15, where we're told to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But that's absurd. If there's any possibility of a shortage of the grace of God, isn't it? Preach the gospel to every creature. So there's grace available for every creature. I once read the story of a poor woman living in the slums of a big city that visited the seashore. And standing at the edge of the water, she looked out over the vast expanse of the ocean. Tears filled her eyes and trickled down her cheeks. And someone said, "Why are you crying?" And here's the word she used. "Oh," I said, "it's so wonderful to see something there's enough of." She'd been so poor, there'd always been a shortage. And she was moved when she stood before the ocean with such a vast supply. Well, that's the way it is with the grace of God. The grace of God, like the ocean, has a boundless supply. No matter how far a person has gone in sin, the grace of God goes a little further. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. No matter how far sin goes, I tell you, the grace of God goes a little bit further. I recall several years ago, in a local hospital here, I was talking with a man who told me how wicked he was, and I began to tell him of God's love and God's grace for him and how God was willing to save him. But somehow he wanted to tell me all the mean things he had done, and he began to recite to me a number of terrible war crimes that he had committed. And I finally stopped him. I said, there's not any need for you to tell me or even to tell God all the mean things you've done. Because Jesus Christ loves you, and he died for every sin you've ever committed or ever will commit. And no matter how deep sin has stained your soul, the grace of God will make you white as snow. Well, I'm glad to tell you that man professed to accept Jesus as his Savior. And I know that the grace of God was sufficient. I reminded him of what God said to Israel. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The riches of his grace, are distributed through Jesus Christ. He is the avenue down which or through which the grace of God travels to a sinning and needy world. Ephesians 1:6 says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, it is Christ, it is in Christ that we have our acceptance. We're not accepted with God because we've joined a church, or because we've been baptized, or because we've taken the Lord's Supper, or because we've tried to be a good person, a reasonably good conduct. We are accepted in the beloved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Now, it is in Christ that people find salvation, and in no other. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I like what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14. He said, thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Now, God is causing us to triumph in Christ now. But he'll cause us to have final and complete victory in Christ. Did you know that? Paul says in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, this corruptible, talking about the body, must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And he said, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Then he tells us how we get that victory. How that this corruptible body becomes incorruptible, and this mortal or dying body becomes immortal or undying. He said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, my body hasn't been given eternal life, but it will be in Christ, who conquered the grave and who said, because I live, ye shall live also. But I tell you, my friends, don't forget that in order for me and you to become partakers of this marvelous grace of God, Jesus Christ had to pay a great price. He had to offer himself in sacrifice. You know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich. Well, where was he rich? In heaven. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Where was he poor? On earth. So poor that he said, Foxes have holes, birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And then when you think beyond that, he went to the shameful death of the cross. It was through his humiliation, his suffering, and his death that God's grace is opened up to us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. The poet has said, could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. The riches of God's grace are available through Jesus Christ. And if people are spiritually impoverished, it's their own fault. There's riches in Jesus Christ. Then, quickly, I'd like to point out that the riches of God's grace is the measure of our redemption and forgiveness. Notice again Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Redemption has in it the idea of paying a price or paying a ransom to set one free. Do you know the ransom price paid for our sins? 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. That is the ransom price for us all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Forgiveness, which is made possible by redemption, is according to the riches of his grace. Now that means the door is open to all. None need despair. When a rich man gives according to his riches, he does not give sparingly. He gives bountifully. Last, the riches of his grace are exhibited in redeemed men. You say, well, when does this exhibition take place? I think it was already taking place in the Apostle Paul. Because he had been a persecutor of the church, and now he's a preacher. He had sought to destroy the faith, and now he's defending the faith and propagating the faith. And so he stands as an exhibition of the riches of God's grace. But I think the greatest exhibition is still yet to come. That's when we get, well, when we all get to heaven. And when we get our perfect bodies and get settled down in a perfect land. And we can sing the blood redemption song that we read about in Revelation 5:9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. I once read about a Baptist preacher in Kentucky who, although he had a sickly body, he faithfully served the Lord in preaching the gospel for over 40 years. As he came down near the end, he would often say, I have my trunk packed, already packed for my last journey. And occasionally people would ask him, and what do you have packed in that trunk? He said, grace, grace, nothing but grace. Well, that'll do to remember. When you get ready to make the journey, my friend, you'll need grace. That's all. Better not depend on anything else. Was it for crimes that I've done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Thank God for the riches of His grace.